On today's show, we get up to speed with all the latest reporting and news coming out of the NBA Draft Combine. Who have the Rockets had interviews with so far? Who have they scheduled workouts with so far? Who is currently on their radar out of the 2022 NBA Draft prospects? Plus, we dive into your listener mailbag questions, focusing on topics such as who should the Rockets take with the 17th overall pick? What is the impact of Will Weaver leaving this team? And much, much more coming up in just one moment right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian, host of Locked On NBA Mondays, host of the State of the Rockets podcast, as well as the founder of ClutchCityControlRoom.com. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin. The show, of course, at Locked On Rockets. As always, appreciate you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. Now, today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, it's where the game starts. Now, for today's episode, we're going to get you up to speed, caught up on the latest reporting surrounding the Houston Rockets and their involvement in the NBA Draft Combine, the prospects that they've either had interviews with or that they've scheduled workouts with, the impression that people are getting from some of the prospects that the Rockets are looking into, as well as diving into our listener mailbag, focusing on things like who the Rockets should take at 17, who they should be keeping an eye on, Will Weaver's impact leaving the team, and more. So let's go ahead and start with the reporting, and we're going to kind of knock these out, not necessarily in rapid fire fashion, because unfortunately we don't have like access to any like, you know, footage. It's all very, it's like, you know, not quite under lock and key, but it's not like I can run back Zoom interviews of what they're doing with these players. But we do have some, you know, little excerpts here and there, but I want to run through the list really quick and focus on the names that stand out to me in greater detail as for what the Rockets are doing so far as their interviews and workouts are concerned. So shout out to the podfather himself, Ben DuBose, who is keeping a running tally of the workouts and interviews that the Rockets have conducted over at USA Today's Rockets Wire. He is a true goat for keeping track of all of this. And it's via crowdsourcing. So if you see that the Rockets have worked somebody out, if you catch like a tweet or an article somewhere and you don't think it's been reported yet by a Rockets reporter, like DM it to Ben, at him on Twitter. He'll add it to the article. It's awesome. It's a great resource for all Rockets fans who care about the draft coming up. So let's start with at the very top of the list, and it goes in, you know, time order. So we'll start with the oldest news and then we'll get to the most recent one. But Colorado State forward David Roddy, Northwest Missouri State guard Trevor Hudgens, both had workouts with the Rockets. Another workout, UTEP guard Jamal Bienemy. And then some interviews here, LSU forward Tari Eason, Ohio State wing Malachi Branham, Milwaukee's Patrick Baldwin Jr. had an interview, G League Ignite wing Marjon Beauchamp had a workout, which I find interesting that he's already at the workout phase of this situation. Paolo Banchero had an interview with the Rockets. Mega basket forward Nikola Jovic had an interview with the Rockets. And then lastly, Nebraska guard Bryce McGowans had an interview with the Rockets. So only a handful of workouts conducted so far. The three names at the top kind of, you know, these are guys that aren't really floating towards the, you know, lottery range of things, you know, maybe late first, early second. I find it interesting that Marjon Beauchamp is the first to receive a workout with the Houston Rockets so far of the players that are either going to be available at the top of the draft around pick number 3 or available around the middle area of the draft at pick number 17. Now, first off, I will say that it is not a given that the Rockets are going to get workouts out of the top prospects in Paolo Banchero, Jabari Smith, and Chet Holmgren. Remember, if you remember last year, Evan Mobley refused to work out for Houston. And so that could be done for a variety of reasons, right? It could be that they, you know, want to, that they're aiming to go to a different location, that they're content with that. It could be that maybe one of the teams at the top shows a bit more favoritism towards one of the other prospects, and that, you know, the prospect at hand doesn't necessarily want to waste their time working out for a team if they don't legitimately think that team has a shot to draft them. So all these teams, all these camps for these players are going to be being fed information and resources, and they're also gauging these teams just as much as the teams are gauging these prospects and how they would fit within these organizations. These players are kind of gauging these situations and trying to think, okay, well, how are we, like, most of these players want to leverage themselves into the highest pick possible. But at the same time, when you're one of the guys at the very, very top of the draft, you can be a little bit more selective about, like, all right, if you're Jabari Smith Jr. and you have the guarantee that you're going number one to the Orlando Magic, why waste your time with workouts for OKC and for Houston or Sacramento, right? You're not doing them just to do them favors. Like, it doesn't make any sense. You could hurt yourself. You could, you know, you don't want to give them any added intel into what's going on your, you know, back end. You also don't want to hype them up, right? It's some, you know, schedule a workout with them, get them under the assumption that, hey, like, you know, this guy might be available to us. If he's working out with all of us, then maybe he doesn't have a promise from that other team. So there's a lot of variables that play into these workouts, these interviews, but the names that really stand out on the list so far of who the Rockets have spoken to, obviously Paolo Banchero sitting at the top of that list. It seems like there's some mutual interest between the Houston Rockets and Paolo Banchero. There's been some glowing reporting done about Paolo Banchero from both the Houston Chronicle's Jonathan Fagan, as well as the Athletic's Kelly Eco, in regards to what they've learned about just, you know, his presence at the NBA draft combine, that when he walks into a room, he is, you know, he's an immediate, like, hit. Basically, you know, his presence is there. He has that star aura around him. And I think that there was a, you know, YouTube video done during the draft lottery, or at least was posted online during the draft lottery, of Paolo Banchero doing an interview, essentially saying that he's the best player, the best overall player in this year's draft. And Jalen Green said the exact same thing last year. And putting those two screen caps side by side, it's kind of like, yeah, if Banchero's there, like, the Rockets are taking Banchero. But I think that's also just a foregone conclusion at this point of whoever's left out of the three bigs at the top of the draft. The real question just kind of remains to be seen. Are the Orlando Magic and OKC just hell-bent on taking one of Jabari Smith or Chet Holmgren at 1 and 2 to leave Paolo Banchero at 3 for the Rockets? Of course, all of that, you know, we'll find out in due time. But Paolo Banchero is interesting. The Rockets have interviewed him. LSU's Tari Eason, based on what Jonathan Fagan reported from Tari Eason and his conversation with the Rockets, Tari Eason said it was a really good conversation, like a really good conversation. And that wording on it, right, the elongated, really good conversation, almost sounds like a promise, like that the Rockets are either, hey, if you're there on the board at 17, we'll take you, or even potentially even more than that, of like, hey, we're working on some trades to get up a little bit higher in the lottery so that we can guarantee that we're going to take you. Would not surprise me in the slightest if Tari Eason is like their guy that they really want with 17, or potentially the guy that they are looking to trade up for to acquire in this year's NBA draft. And then Marjon Beauchamp, who had the first workout of some of the, you know, upper tier prospects with the Rockets. I'm really intrigued by Marjon Beauchamp as a, like, wing defender, what he can bring to the table, his entire skill set. Once I started looking at his film a little bit more, I became really excited about him as a prospect. He would be an absolute steal at 17 for the Houston Rockets if Tari Eason's no longer there, or not on the board, or if the Rockets aren't able to trade up. Really like Marjon Beauchamp's mention there. And then Nikola Jovic is another one that everybody seems to be head over heels in love with. I may be a little bit lower on Jovic, but at the same time, like, you know, European big, can do a little bit of everything. You know, he's just a solid, like, jack of all trades type player. Like, there's not, like, you know, an inherent, like, super crazy big weakness in his game. And I think that's what makes him so attractive as a potential prospect, is you're looking at him, you're thinking, like, you've got such a strong base, strong foundation to build on. There's nowhere to go but up for him, you know, as long as he can translate some of his, you know, talents to the NBA level. But that's the most recent reporting surrounding the Rockets, guys who have interviewed or worked out with the Houston Rockets as of now. Of course, we'll keep you updated as that list continues to grow and the relevance of some of those names on that list and how it could, you know, paint a better picture of who the Houston Rockets are looking at with obviously the number 3 overall pick. And of course, the number 17 overall pick, where there's a lot more gray area as to the direction that they could be going. But coming up, we're going to get into your listener mailbag questions here in just one moment after a quick message from our friends over at Sakara. Because look, when it comes to feeling your best, feeling really good, it starts with what you eat. Sakara helps you live a healthy, balanced lifestyle and truly enjoy it with delicious, plant-rich, transformational nutrition that builds a foundation for you living in your best body. Sakara is a wellness company that's anchored in food as medicine on a mission to nourish your body through the power of plants. Sakara gives you the tools that you need to transform your life with their organic, ready-to-eat meal delivery program and functional wellness essentials. They're nutritionally designed, chef-crafted meals are made with powerful plant-rich ingredients, helping boost your energy, support your digestion, curb your sugar cravings, and get your skin glowing. Plus, it's all delivered right to your doorstep, ready to eat. And right now, Sakara is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when they go to sakara.com/lockedon20 or enter code LOCKEDON20 at checkout. That's Sakara, sakara.com/lockedon20 to get 20% off your first order. Again, sakara.com/lockedon20. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, appreciate you for making LOR your first listen each and every day. For your second listen, go check out the Locked On NBA Big Board podcast. Host Rafael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA Draft, mock draft, player rankings, and of course, big boards. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Now, let's go ahead and dive into our listener mailbag questions. Shout out to everybody who submitted a question, who participated. I do appreciate it. Let's start with at Madman Leaks. What teams are realistic trade-up targets for the 17th pick, and what type of trade package would we use to move up? I immediately come away looking at three different teams in the lottery area, or just outside the lottery. And that's the Charlotte Hornets with picks 15 and 13, the Portland Trail Blazers with pick number 7, and then the Sacramento Kings actually with pick number 4. I think with the Charlotte Hornets, you could very easily entertain a smaller scale trade, like a slight trade up from 17 to either 15 or 13. If you're willing to part with maybe like a future second round pick or something, maybe the Hornets have their eyes set on a guy that they think they can get down at 17. So, you know, it could very easily be one of those quick little trade down maneuvers by the Charlotte Hornets to recoup an additional asset further down the line. Or you could very easily roll one of those picks, either 13 or 15, into a bigger trade package by way of, you know, sending Christian Wood out, right? If Christian Wood is somebody that the Charlotte Hornets are interested in, we know that there were some potential rumors about Christian Wood being linked to the Charlotte Hornets at last NBA trade deadline. So there's that possibility right there. So that's the first team I would look at. Then I'd go up to the Portland Trail Blazers because they're in a very precarious position of, are they actually retooling around Damian Lillard, or are they trying to strip it down to the nuts and bolts and like hit the reset button? So wouldn't shock me if Damian Lillard is no longer a member of the Blazers, you know, even by the end of the offseason or by next trade deadline. Like, it could all fall apart very, very quickly in Portland. So I think they're in the same position the Rockets were sort of in at the end of the James Harden era, of like kind of straddling the fence between being competitive now, but also angling yourself towards the future, because you can see the light at the end of the tunnel and not in a good way, because Dame could very much just be like, get me out of here, I'm done. Like, let's just tear this thing down. I don't want to be here anymore. So with that being the case, if there's like a polished, ready to win rookie, like on the board at 7 for the Blazers, like if Keegan Murray is there at 7, it would not shock me in the slightest if they just went with a guy like that. Now, that said, you know, maybe the Blazers want a bit more established talent, and maybe they want like a couple pieces for that pick number 7. I would absolutely be looking at a trade package, you know, centered around Christian Wood, Jae'Sean Tate, and pick number 17, something in that capacity, more or less, to move up to pick number 7. Now, maybe you're thinking like, oh, you know, that's a lot to give up just to move up 10 spots in the draft. But I do think that there's like a plethora of that tier 2 talent in this draft that has a dangerous chance to not be on the board anymore once the Rockets are actually there at pick number 17. And by then they could be kind of getting down to like the tier three prospects of this draft. And so it would absolutely be a win for the Rockets because they need to start consolidating their assets anyways, right? They're about to run out of space on this roster. And there's already question marks about what Christian Wood and Jae'Sean Tate's future look like with this Houston Rockets team. So if you have a chance to just cash in on those guys, move up 10 spots in this draft and pick up another tier two prospect after you've already gotten your tier one guy in either Jabari Smith, Chet Holmgren, or Paolo Banchero at the top of the draft, that would be huge for this Rockets team. And then lastly, same line of thinking as the Trailblazers, but the Sacramento Kings, right? They're in this weird spot where, like, are they trying to win now? Are they trying to be competitive? They haven't been to the playoffs in ages. Like, what are they trying to do? Are they really going to take another guard at, you know, number four with Jaden Ivey or Shaedon Sharpe? Are they going to reach past those two guys and take somebody else at number four? You know, there's a lot of question marks. I think the Sacramento Kings are almost not in a position where they have to trade down, but it would make a lot of sense for them to trade down out of that four spot. Now, maybe trading down all the way to 17 doesn't exactly make a lot of sense, but I would very much keep an eye on what the Kings do with that fourth overall pick, because if I had to bet on it, which I could at betonline.net, I would say that the Kings don't actually make that selection at number four and that they outsmart themselves, because the Kings are, you know, one of the teams that does that best in the NBA. They're going to outsmart themselves, trade the pick, do something silly with it. I almost can feel that in my bones. All right, let's go to our next question from my guy, Tiziano. What would you be willing to give up for the first overall pick? Ooh, that's a tough one. You know, at this point, based on my personal big board, right, I still have Jabari and Chet further ahead than Paolo Banchero. And so for me personally, like, it's tough to evaluate, because what it really depends on is what the Rockets think of these top prospects, right? Because on their big board and based on the research that they're doing, if the margin is razor thin between these three bigs and they don't care which big they're going to get, it makes zero sense to trade up. Now, if there's a significant gap between, say, like Chet Holmgren is like number one on their board, and then they've got like a gap, and then it's Jabari and Paolo in like tier two, that's when you get into the area of like, okay, what is this Rockets organization willing to trade, willing to package to move all the way up to number one? I think at this point, if the Rockets are significantly higher on one of the other, you know, top big man prospects, and they don't think he's going to fall to number three, like if they really want Chet Holmgren or really want Jabari Smith, I think I'd be really comfortable with them moving 17 to trade up to number one. I wouldn't be that upset if the Rockets didn't get a second prospect out of this draft, if again, they really feel like one of those other guys is their pick, or if they feel like they need to move up to take Paolo Banchero, right? Like, that's a possibility. I think a lot of draft experts have Banchero locked for pick number three. Maybe Orlando and OKC reach a little bit and take him at one of those spots. Because as I've been navigating this since the draft lottery was announced, I'm still seeing the consensus has Jabari and Chet at number one and two. But there are a few draft people that I talked to that wouldn't be surprised with OKC taking Paolo at number two, which I thought was almost like a guaranteed, like, not going to happen. And then again, I had the idea that Orlando might reach and take him number one. So there's still a lot of uncertainty about how this draft is going to play out. I'd be comfortable, though, trading the 17th overall pick probably in package with the number three overall pick to move up a couple spots. Maybe that's a little too excessive. Maybe it should be a future first with some protections on it. But that's just kind of where my head is at as far as moving up in this year's NBA draft. Next question here from at the Electrifying 2. Will Jae'Sean Tate stay past 2023, provided if the Rockets pick up his option? Draft and a second question, draft night deal for Wall/Gordon. I'll start with the second one. I would not get my hopes up for a draft night deal regarding John Wall and Eric Gordon. I just think it's, you know, Eric Gordon's one of those players that you're going to get more value for him in the middle of a season when there's a team that should have traded for him, who clearly needed his help in the playoffs, Phoenix. but the Rockets didn't have any future firsts on the table for Eric Gordon, and they didn't want to just trade Eric Gordon for the sake of trading him. John Wall, bit of a different story. His salary is so tough to move. And again, unless the Rockets were willing to take back a bunch of bad money that's going to be on the books for years past when the John Wall contract would be, I just don't quite see it. He's effectively a gigantic expiring contract this next season. The Rockets could absolutely use that to their advantage, you know, this offseason and at the NBA trade deadline. I just don't get your hopes up for a move on draft night with either of those two names. Will Jayshon Tate stay past 2023, provided the Rockets pick up his option? Look, I know that the organization is really impressed by what Jayshon Tate brings to the table, right? He has done nothing but, you know, make himself a mainstay of this organization since walking through that door. He has grown quite a bit as a player. I think there's just, unfortunately, there's certain limitations to his game, right? With what he can and can't do, in the sense of he's not a shooter. And we saw the drawbacks to having multiple non-shooters on the floor sharing minutes with one another very closely this past season. And so there's certain limitations to what you can and can't do with him to maximize his individual talent on the floor if you're the Houston Rockets. Does Jayshon Tate have a future role with this team? I still think yes, but at the same time, he's definitely still a trade chip, and an attractive trade chip at that, for teams that are looking to be competitive now, because he is a top tier wing defender. He's versatile. You can play him positions 1 through 5, essentially, if you want to go with like a really undersized small ball 5. He can pass, he can cut, he can, again, defend at a high level. Like, there's so many things that he can do. It's just unfortunate the one thing that he can't do with true consistency is keep that outside shot going. Otherwise, I'd say it's a guarantee that he's a part of this Rockets organization moving forward. I think the Rockets want to keep him around because, again, when you have that kind of guy on that team-friendly of a deal, he's a great throw-in for a trade piece or trade package somewhere, and he's also just a great guy to have around these other young guys, right? So it's a win-win whether you keep him as part of the long-term rebuild or whether you keep him around just because you want to trade him down the line. The Rockets are going to win regardless with Jayshon Tate. Would I pay Jayshon Tate $10 million a year if I was the Houston Rockets? Maybe not. Like, I don't know if I'd be willing to dip into the MLE or pay him like that, you know, 8 to 12 million range that he's probably going to get as a 3-and-D player, unless you're confident that you want to keep him around long term, because that shooting could turn off teams from potentially wanting to trade for him if he's suddenly at that dollar amount instead of floating around, you know, the super cheap team friendly deal that he's currently on right now. So, coming up, want to get to the rest of these mailbag questions. We're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Bet Online, because Bet Online continues to be the number one source for all of your sports betting needs and info. Find the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. Bet Online is your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, from live betting, the NBA playoffs, esports, the NBA draft, and more. And speaking of the NBA draft, right now you can take a look at the odds over at Bet Online for who will go number one overall in this year's 2022 NBA draft. Right now, Jabari Smith Jr. at minus 140 to be the number one overall selection. You got Chet Holmgren at plus 190, and then Paolo Banchero at plus 475. So for that and more, head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action available to you. Bet Online, it's where the game starts. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, appreciate you for making LOR your first listen each and every day. For your second listen, go check out Locked On NBA. From the first jump of the play-in tournament to the very final possession of the NBA Finals, Locked On experts taking you deep inside the playoffs with insight and analysis affecting all 30 teams. I host the Monday show, always a ton of fun. That's out today. Go take a look at it. We talked a little draft stuff in that episode. That was a ton of fun. So let's continue on here with our listener mailbag questions. Get to our next one here from @_hoodieron. At 17, would you like to take a big or a wing, or potentially trade for a guy like, say, Atari Eason, for example? I love Tari Eason. I think that if he was there at pick 17, I would be ecstatic. I do not expect him to be there at pick 17. Not in the slightest. I think that the Rockets, like I mentioned in segment one, where Tari Eason did have an interview with the Rockets, there was some reporting done around that. It kind of sounds like Tari Eason feels very good about his conversation with the Houston Rockets. It sounds like they're potentially pretty high on him. He brings a really diverse skill set to the table. And he had a quote to The Athletic's Kelly Eco where he said that it doesn't matter like where you put him, whether it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, wherever you put me, he's going to make something happen. And I love that mentality. He is a versatile defender, versatile kind of wing piece. Truly would be a huge get for this Houston Rockets team. So I think at 17, I'm not necessarily looking for you know, it's weird because for so long, like, I wanted the Rockets to maybe pick up a center at 17, like a true center, like add some size to this team. If they're going to go with a big at the top of the draft, like, honestly, I just want them to go best player available. And I think you really can't go wrong with wings in today's NBA. Like, if you can find a wing at 17 who is versatile, who can guard multiple positions, like 1 through 4, maybe 2 through 5, that kind of thing. And, you know, has a good baseline in their skill set, that you feel confident in their ability to build on their pre-existing skill set and get to a better place. And especially if somebody like that is defensive minded, give me that person all day, every day at 17, which is why excited about Tari Eason, excited about Marjon Beauchamp. Like, those names would be names that I would want to be keeping my eye on at pick number 17. Let's get to our next question here from at didn't know now do. Will Şengün be a long-term piece with this third pick coming in, assuming it's a big? Who knows? Like, that's the you know, best answer at this point. But here's the part that I think Rockets fans are getting caught up in, right? Rockets fans are very currently caught up in the idea of, oh, Alperen Şengün can't coexist with, you know, Paolo Banchero because they're both bad defenders. Who cares? Like, the Rockets aren't competing this next season. Like, they're not. You know, you want to see marginal growth. You want to see them push towards, you know, maybe the play-in tournament. You want to see them start to do something with all the talent that they have on the roster. But right now, fit doesn't matter. There's a world where Paolo Banchero and Alperen Şengün could absolutely coexist, or any of, like, Chet, Jabari, right? But we're eyes kind of set on Paolo right now. There's a world where Paolo Banchero and Alperen Şengün maybe absolutely coexist, right? Because they can both pass, they can both play off of each other. Maybe they do figure it out defensively and it's not as quite of a dumpster fire as people are painting it out to potentially be, like, all of those concerns, right? Or, like, just squash them. So that's option number one. Option two could be Paolo Banchero and Alperen Şengün very clearly cannot coexist, but they're good enough individually, like, on their own when you pair them with another defensive-minded big, like, you know, potentially one of the bigs from this draft. Maybe you pick up a, you know, a Mark Williams or a Kessler Edwards or something, or trade up for a Jalen Duren, whatever. You pair them with a guy like that who can kind of anchor the paint a little bit more alongside them at that five spot. They look great when they're on the floor by themselves. They continue to do. Şengün does what he's been doing his entire rookie year. Paolo Banchero looks fantastic. Cool. Now you've got to decide, all right, which of these guys are we going to trade, right? Which one is better? That's the problem that you want to have if you're the Houston Rockets. You want to take the best talent available. And if Şengün can't coexist with Paolo Banchero, and if Paolo Banchero is the better player, then essentially we're going to run into the same dilemma that we've basically had with Alperen Şengün and Christian Wood, where those two guys can kind of coexist together on the floor. And offensively, at times, it does look like it works. Defensively, it's been really suspect at times. So, and then you run into this exact same situation where Rockets fans want Christian Wood gone because he doesn't fit with Alperen Şengün. That's the same situation that Rockets fans will maybe find themselves in with Paolo Banchero and Alperen Şengün. If those two don't fit, and if Paolo Banchero is clearly the superior player, then you get to a point where, all right, what do we trade Şengün for? It doesn't mean he's going to suddenly become a bad player. It just means you might have to trade Şengün to a team that is more willing to try and build and construct a roster around his skill set and his abilities, because a player like Şengün is difficult to build a roster around. When he is at 6'9", 6'10", he has to play the five right now. There's not really a realistic idea that he could play the four. So I think if he slimmed down a little bit, he could play the four. You have a little bit more flexibility with him as far as roster construction goes and where you could potentially place him. But right now, it's too early to tell whether Şengün is a long-term fit or if he's, like, out the window because of Paolo Banchero. Let's go with our next question here from at Leffert Ludovic. Coach Weaver leaving could impact future of Jae'Sean Tate with Rockets. I don't think so. Like, you know, Jae'Sean Tate doesn't have that kind of pull. I think their relationship was important to have and to harbor Jae'Sean Tate's growth during his first season in the NBA. And it absolutely helped those. Obviously, like, those two guys are so connected from their days in the NBL, like, you know, learning together, growing together, all that. But at the same time, Weaver leaving isn't going to be like Jae'Sean Tate's marching into Rafael Stone's office and say, get me out of here. You guys got rid of my guy and the coaching staff. No, it's probably unfortunate, and I'm sure Jae'Sean Tate's going to miss him, but I don't think it impacts his future, like, whatsoever about what his long-term fit means with this Rockets team. If he fits, he does. If they want him around, they'll keep him around. It's that simple to me. Next question here, we go to at Sean_Riley12. Is it concerning how much this dude sweats? Would this condition make him more prone to injuries and cramps? This is in reference to Paolo Banchero. I thought this was one of the best questions that got asked. Honestly, this is hilarious. A quick Googling of is sweating too much bad warrants the search result. Excessive sweating or hyperhidrosis can be a warning sign of thyroid problems, diabetes, or infection. Excessive sweating is also more common in people who are overweight or out of shape, neither of which Paolo Banchero looks to be. The good news is that most cases of excessive sweating are harmless. I am not a doctor. I do not claim to be a doctor. I'll have to DM one of like the sports science dudes on Twitter and see like if this is a legitimate concern. But Google says no. And Google says it's probably not. And honestly, if it was a concern, I'm sure that the medical staff at Duke would have been like, yo, like, bro, why are you sweating so much? Like, what's going on? So I don't think it's anything to worry about. Funny question, nonetheless. Appreciate it, Sean. Let's go to our next one here. At T. Coop Jr., what would it take to trade up to number 4? Already talked about this a little bit in one of our earlier questions, but I do think that the Kings are in this really weird position where, like, they would benefit from trading down, but how far down would they benefit, right? Like, I don't necessarily think the Kings want to trade all the way down to pick 17. I could see them maybe entertaining a trade down to 5 with the Pistons or like 6 or 7 with the Pacers or with the Blazers maybe. I do think with pick number 4, though, it does depend on what the Kings are trying to accomplish this next season, whether or not they want some guys who are more win now players, you know, guys who you can just plug into the starting lineup and you know, get some production out of them, like a Jae'Sean Tate, like a Christian Wood, or maybe they're willing to, you know, allocate down and just say, you know what, we don't want to, you know, go with the, you know, potential, like, I don't know, high ceiling of, you know, Shaedon Sharpe or Jaden Ivey at the top of this draft. Maybe they're looking at some of the other young players around the league. I mean, if you were the Rockets, would you part with any of the current young core for that number 4 overall pick? Would you want to take, say, a Paolo Banchero at number 3 and then a Shaedon Sharpe or Jaden Ivey at number 4? Would you trade Josh Christopher? Would you trade Alperen Şengün? Like, you know, I don't know. I mean, if I were the Rockets, trading Alperen Şengün for pick number 4, especially if there's some, you know, question marks about how he and Paolo Banchero may or may not fit moving forward, and then you walk away with another top prospect in, say, a Jaden Ivey or a Shaedon Sharpe to pair with an already, you know, enticing young core, as a possibility there. I think there's no shortage to the different permutations that could be had to trade up to number 4. It's all about what the Kings really want to do in this year's draft. And I think they're the one where there's so much gray area around what they're going to do with pick number 4, honestly, about making the selection, trading down, like, you know, trying to trade it for a more established player because they really want to win some basketball games. Who knows? All we know is Sacramento is going to overthink themselves in some capacity. All right. From at R Romero 769. If we draft Banchero, could we see Garuba getting time as the 3? Maybe not necessarily at the 3 for Garuba. In fact, I think skill set wise, like Paolo, I mean, it's kind of semantics, but like, I feel like Paolo Banchero would probably be the 3 on the floor if Garuba was out there. But like, who, like, my question to you, Mr. Romero, is who are you putting out there with Garuba and Banchero that would instigate that one of them is playing the 3? It would mean you have a lineup of Banchero, Garuba, and Şengün or Wood. Like, what player are you throwing out there at the 5 spot that's pushing one of Banchero or Garuba all the way down to the 3 spot? Look, I think that we're going to see a lot of Usman Garuba this next season. Effectively, it's really like his first campaign since he just didn't get that much run with the Rockets this past season. I think there's a lot of optimism about Garuba, what the work that he's putting in this summer, how good he looks right now. And then not only that, but just what Garuba would look like with Paolo Banchero, right? There's question marks about Paolo Banchero's defense. Guess who there aren't question marks about their defense? Usman Garuba. Right? He's a guy that can help anchor a team. He is a bit undersized to maybe be your full-time 5, but the way the NBA is trending with teams kind of, you know, operating a bit smaller at times, you know, being willing to go small, especially like in the playoffs and such, Usman Garuba is the perfect guy, 6'8", crazy long wingspan, to be that guy who can kind of be your small ball 5 or more traditionally a 4 at the NBA level. And maybe shore up some of those defensive inefficiencies or defensive holes you might find in a given lineup that the Rockets are running out, especially with so many young guys, so many rookies, so many guys with question marks about their defensive intensity, capability, all of that. Next question here. Which player are you keeping your eye on with the 17th pick from YouTube, from Jalen Johnson 0339? Appreciate it, Jalen. I would say, again, I kind of went over this in some of the earlier questions, some of the discussion in segment one, but kind of the names that I've got floating around the top of my list at 17 would be Tari Eason, who I think he's going to be gone by 17. I think that Marjon Beauchamp would be really good. Dyson Daniels probably doesn't make it all the way down there. Nikola Jovic is another one to keep an eye on. Who else? I mean, there's so many really talented names, and it really just could, like, certain guys could fall, certain guys could rise. Like Jalen Duren could fall, Mark Williams could fall, and then suddenly it's like, I would gladly take one of those guys. Like it's all so much up in the air right now. Ty Washington is another guy, right? Potentially, like, if the Rockets, you know, don't want to bring back Dennis Schroeder, if they've got a hole at the backup point guard position. And I failed to mention this earlier, unfortunately, but Ty Washington, though he hasn't had an interview or a workout with the Rockets, he has spoken with John Wall about the Rockets organization. So there is a connection there between Wall and Ty Washington, Kentucky guards, all of that. So there's a possibility maybe that John Wall is gassing up the Rockets or saying, stay away from here because they benched me for a year and I hate it. I don't know, right? Could be either option, honestly, at this point. Last question here. We've got, which current Rockets player would make the worst babysitter and why? From at Average Goblin. That is a trippy question. I'm going to go with the inverse of it first. And I think that Eric Gordon would probably make the best babysitter because that's already what he's having to do with this Rockets team. You've got Eric Gordon babysitting all the young guys on a nightly basis. I'm going to say Josh Christopher probably makes the best babysitter. I'm going to say that he, like, and this comes from, like, seeing him, like, interact with, like, kids, like, at, like, Rockets events, interacting with fans and stuff like that. Like, he's just such a chill, down to earth, cool guy. And I think, like, Josh Christopher, like, being stuck in babysitter mode, like, taking care of a kid, like, he'd kind of just be a kid with the kid. Like, I don't know. It'd be really funny to see. I'm going to go with Josh Christopher as my answer. I like that fun little question to wrap up this edition of our Rockets mailbag question. So with that, thank you to everybody for submitting a question as part of the mailbag show. It does mean a lot. Appreciate you guys for doing that. If you haven't done so yet, consider subscribing to the show wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, Google, the brand new Odyssey app, free and available on all platforms. Also check us out on YouTube. Go to YouTube, search Locked on Rockets, like, comment, subscribe, all that stuff. How do you feel about the recent reporting of names that are linked to the Houston Rockets right now, the interviews and workouts that we know of so far? How are you feeling about where the Rockets are at during their pre-draft process? Let me know in the YouTube comments. I do read each and every one of those every single day. But as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you back right here at Locked on Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.